the acts governing business? Most businesses follow these laws under mercantile law or business law. The Companies Act of 1956 old and the Companies New Act 2013, latest revised. Effective August 29, 2013, regulate registered companies in India. Now, as you see, 1956, there were so many changes that came about in the Companies Act that finally the government and the judicial body has said that we will follow it as the Companies Act 2013, which is the latest revised one and which became effective on 29th of August 2013. What does it do? It regulates companies. The reason being that we have got many startups which have come up and these all have to be categorized, as well as you have a lot many multinational companies who have come in and who have got into different methods of business. Either there are partnerships or there are 100% fully owned under FDI. So all these need to be regulated, and that is the reason for the revision. The Act addresses capital issues through SEBI and affects decisions on directors and selling agents. So these selling agents are not the actual selling agents of the product. Selling agents here are those who sell shares and who have selling rights in terms of their investments in the companies. Of course, it also affects the decisions under SEBI on the directors, because the directors hold certain amount of shares for a company as co-owners. It is essential for companies requiring regular reports to the government in specified formats. None of us wants to generate reports and keep reporting to somebody at a higher level. So this is a human condition. But well, companies, although made of humans and a structure, need to comply to certain regular requirements of reports to the government in specified formats. Now, this is all governed by SEBI and ensures that if SEBI doesn't get those reports, they have penalties which are imposed on the companies. The Acts Governing Business. The Indian Contract Act of 1872 establishes binding business relations and allows claims for damages in breaches. When the Act says that you need to bind by certain rules and regulations and maintain certain business relationships with the other entities, it also allows for claims for damages if there is a breach on either part. The Indian Sale of Goods Act 1930 regulates sales, defining a contract of sale as transferring goods for a price with conditions and warranties. So when you sell a product, it will go as per the Indian Sale of Goods Act, will always go with a price and with conditions and warranties, the so-called T&C. But what the Act is saying is that it has defined here very clearly what is a contract of sale, and also has given you terms and conditions, guidance to the terms and conditions that you can impose for warranties on the sale of your product. The Contract Act, the Contract of Partnership Act 1932. This act governs partnership firms across India except Jammu and Kashmir, with 74 sections applying contract law principles when not specified. What does this mean? This means that this act governs the partnership business companies, and there are 74 sections which are applying contract law. That means they use the contract law principles when there is no specified mention about that condition under the Partnership Act. A partnership is defined as an agreement to share business profits among partners, collectively form a firm called a firm operating under firm name. So it is defining what is a partnership company. A partnership is defined as an agreement to share business profits, which means that whatever is the amount that each of the partners brings in, or whatever is the value addition that each of the partners puts in, they are all obliged to be partners in sharing the business profits. Now, what happens to that company? The company would have a specific, it will be called a firm, and it will have a specific name which will be registered as a partnership firm. The term negotiable instrument means a document transferable by delivery for the right to receive money. Section 13, subclause 1, defines it as a promissory note, a bills of exchange, or checks payable to order or bearer, applicable across India, excluding hundis and native instruments. So the Negotiable Instruments Act, although made in 1881, considers that there is a payment that is required for a transaction. Now, this payment needs to be regulated. It cannot be just a promissory note. That promissory note should be valid and should have some legal entity or legal identification. As a result of which, it is covered under this Negotiable Instruments Act. And now, what are these promissory notes, or what is this negotiable instrument? It covers not only promissory notes, it covers bills of exchange or checks payable to the order of or the bearer across all India, excluding hundis and native instruments, because the law, as we understand, made under British rule, did not accept whatever was the local agreements between two people in a village or a town. I believe the reason mainly was because of the language and the culture that prevailed across India. A comprehensive understanding of these acts, along with the key additional acts listed below, is essential for professionals in supply chain management. We come back to what we started in the first chapter. What is the need to understand the law and the acts for a supply chain manager? A comprehensive understanding of these acts, along with key additional acts listed below, is essential, so that you need not, when you are talking to your supplier as a supply chain manager, you need not keep going back and forth to the legal team and asking them what is my standing as a supply chain manager when I'm talking to a supplier. The laws impact both internal and foreign trade. That means local and foreign trade both. The Stamp Act of 1889, the Indian Registration Act of 1908. Now, the Indian Registration Act is registration of companies. The Securities Contracts Regulation Act, 1956. This covers the investors and the shareholders and the securities that you have in terms of financial obligations. The Copyright Act, 1957. Whatever is your idea, whatever is your copyrighted act, idea needs to be protected. This is where the Copyright Act comes in. The Patents Act of 1972, again, to protect your ideas, your innovations, your manufacturability conditions that you have developed on your own. Again, a protection under the Patents Act. The Securities Exchange Board of India Act, 1982. Now, this is where all companies currently working are governed by, who are all shareholders. So it is SEBI who regulates and ensures that everybody is compliant to the basic rules of trade. The Environment Protection Act, 1986, much needed and enforced. The Consumer Protection Act, 1986. Today, even the consumer needs protection, because you have cases where companies take customers for a ride, and then the consumer must understand what is his rights and how he can file a case and get protection from law. The Foreign Trade Development and Regulation Act, 1992. This was necessary, especially the year is absolutely right. That is the time, you will all recall, that India opened up for foreign trade and foreign investment. The Arbitration and Conciliation Act, 1996. We covered this act earlier, where it is settling a dispute outside court between two entities who have a basic requirement of resolving the issue at hand rather than going for a court case. the Foreign Exchange Management Act 1999. With foreign investment, there were conditions, there were certain companies who were misusing the provision. There had to be a much stricter law which said and specified what was acceptable, what was not acceptable. And when foreign exchange was concerned, there was a lot of hedging that was being done, which need to be regulated. And that is where this Foreign Exchange Management Act of 1999 came into being. The Trademarks Act of 1999, again, a protection for your trademark, for your logo, for your signage. The way you write your brand, the way you project it as a logo or otherwise. The Competition Act 2002, this is where you get protection where somebody else tries to copy you or tries to abuse you or your brand in their advertisements or in their literature. This is where you get protection under the Competition Act of 2002. When starting or managing a small business, it's essential to understand these 8 key business law areas. For detailed guidance, consider further reading or consult a legal expert. The reason that we are saying this is because the chapter and the book or the subject will not cover the actual legal aspects, and hence if you, any of you, get into business, while you must know these 8 laws, remember that they will govern your business. The company formation laws, of course, what kind of a company you are starting or you're starting your business in. The business finance laws, how to finance your business. Tax and accounting laws, how do you need to maintain your accounts and what are the taxes applicable. The securities law, are there any investors in your company? How do you secure them and how do you secure yourself? Labor and employment laws. What are the employment laws that you need to comply to for the state as well as the country? Intellectual property laws. Is there one of your partners who is the brain behind the idea of your business, or you yourself are the brain behind the business? Your intellectual property needs to be protected. Information technology laws. You cannot run business today without information technology. And hence, there is a protection in terms of cyber crimes and other phishing and other problems. Dispute resolution and contract laws. Whenever you get into contracts with either your suppliers or just a warehouse that you have contracted, you need to be protected as well as does the other party. So dispute resolution and governing of contract laws is what this law covers. What is the business structure? Business structures based on ownership, either it could be a single owner or multiple owners. And then you have a proprietary firm as a single owner or a one-person company, OPC. Or in multiple owners, you have a partnership firm, 0 to 50 partners. Limited liability partnership, LLP, 2, starting with minimum of 2 and unlimited. And then you have private limited company where you have 2 partners, up to 200 partners. What happens here? In a proprietary firm, information and it is informal and an unorganized structure. It is more the business of a general store in our neighborhood. Type of a private company. One person company is type of a private company, and that's how the structure is defined as per law. Partnership firm. Unorganized form of business, but to some extent, some kind of a structure already in place. Combination of partnership and company. This is what a limited liability partnership is. There is a structure, there is certain partnership rules and regulations, but still it is a fairly informal organization. Private limited company. Separate legal entity with equity ownership, which means you would have more than, as it is said, you could have more than 2 partners, right up to 200. So you would have investors or shareholders in your company, but your shares are not really listed on the stock exchange. Company formation law. When starting a business, choose a legal structure based on long-term profit goals and business scale, as this affects taxes, paperwork, and fundraising options. Legal structures include the different legal structures are sole proprietorship or a partnership, the limited liable company or a corporate or a cooperative. The Indian Companies Act 2013 outlines laws for each business type. What is sole partnership? Proprietorship, we saw, where you are going to run this business for the initially maybe the first 2 years. Then your company would be a sole proprietorship. When you get a partnership, let's say after 2 years, a friend of yours joins you, you would get into a partnership, and that's how the company from a sole proprietorship would move to a partnership. Now, this example I'm giving you just to understand how the growth of a business structure changes. Limited liable company, where you have now much more people, partners as partners. Most of them are investors, but they are partners because they are going to share the profits in your company. And then finally, you get into a corporate, where you get into a public limited company and get your shares through an IPO listed on to the stock exchange. Or you run a cooperative, a sort of a non-profit organization, which supports cooperative movements like the milk business in India. The Indian Companies Act of 2013 outlines laws for each of these business types. Business finance laws. There are three funding types that are generally used. Equity financing, investors acquire shares in your company. Debt financing, you take out a business loan and use your own financing for financing your business and running it. Self-financing, using personal funds. So in this case, maybe you have the land that you have purchased and where you have set the factory as a collateral for your loan. For equity or debt financing, ensure compliance with relevant laws and have all necessary documents prepared. When it is equity or debt financing, when a third body or a third entity is involved, please ensure that you have all the documents and that you are complying to all the conditions so that your interests are protected. Tax and accounting laws. Businesses with over 40 lakh turnover must register for GST and file taxes based on their structure. Securities laws. Small businesses can list on the SME stock exchange regulated by SEBI without an IPO. Now, businesses with tax and accounting laws, businesses with over 40 lakh turnover, this is just the requirement for GST. But what is important here is that these laws also ensure and tell you or give you the guidelines as to how you need to maintain the accounts of your company. And of course, file the taxes based on that structure. Securities laws. Small businesses can list on the SME stock exchange regulated by SEBI without an IPO. So you don't need to actually have an IPO to get yourself registered or listed on the SME stock exchange. Labor employment laws. Hiring employees requires having agreements in place and complying with Indian labor laws set by the Ministry of Labor and Employment. Now here, let me just tell you, each of the states in the country has different labor laws and employment laws for employees and employments in their states. Many of the states, as a general rule, have a protection for the women workers that they cannot be employed after a certain time, and if they are employed, then their transportation with security has to be ensured. Just to give you an idea of what labor employment laws mean. Intellectual property laws. If your business creates new products, designs or code, consider copywriting, patenting or trademarking them to protect against theft and enhance profitability through royalties. So if you are one of those businesses where a lot of creativity is involved, and you have people who keep creating new products, new designs, or into software development, and you have people who keep creating new code, then you can consider copywriting and patenting or trademarking to protect those people as well as your ideas, the ideas of the company. And enhance profitability through royalties. What does this mean? This means that you can have, once you have a patent that has got registered, you can sell that patent in terms of rights to another company to make the product design as per your patent design for a limited time. And each sale of that product gets you a certain royalty back. So what is happening here is you have leased out your patent, your idea, and you are earning a money, earning a royalty on every sale that takes place. Information technology laws. The IT Act protects online privacy and identity, addressing the vulnerabilities of technology in business. Many a times, when you go to a shop, you buy something and they ask you for your mobile number. Now, they say, most of the time they say that your invoice will come onto your mobile number. Now, that is one way of asking you and ensuring that they get your mobile number. But remember one thing, when you give your mobile number, you give a lot of the give them access to a lot about lot more information about yourself, because your mobile company has listed your address based on the Aadhaar card that you have submitted there, and then there is an access to that company available to your address and mobile number, name, and other details. This is just an example of the vulnerabilities of technology in business. Dispute resolution and contract laws. Understanding contract and dispute resolution laws is vital for safeguarding your business against disagreements. As we understood, if a supplier and a buyer get into a dispute, there is a resolution law available. There is arbitration and there is reconciliation available. But both should have the basic requirement and agreement that they will want to resolve the dispute. Thank you.